Well, we started some lessons, and I probably will just conclude. We're not going to extend this, but I've started some messages on strengthened with might. And the first lesson was guarding your heart. And we were looking at Proverbs chapter 4 and verses 20, 21, 22, 23. But the main focus on that was that we've become a new creature in Christ. We've become a brand new person. We've been made brand new. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We are brand new in kind and quality. And so what's imparted is eternal life. And so we've focused on that. And then on Sunday, we were just looking at being strengthened with might, and that we focused on Colossians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3, and Ephesians chapter 1 also. And we looked at being strengthened and also talking about that if we fold under adversity, it says our strength is weak or our strength is small. And one other particular translation, which I thought was insightful, it said, if you fail, and let me read it. It says, if you faint in a crisis, you are weak. I think that's pretty plain. Where is that weakness? It's the weakness in your spirit, not in your flesh. It's your spirit is weak. So we're talking about and just focused on some other scriptures about the parable of the sower, and it talked about He is the also that received the seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. So we were talking and focused on Sunday that we need to maintain our spirit man and to be strengthened, to be fed, and to be strengthened so that when we confront the issues in life, when we confront adversities in life, that we don't fold up, we don't fail. And so we were just looking at that and making a point that if our inner man is weak, then, and this is something that, you know, you can agree or disagree, but I agree with the word. And it says if your inner man is weak, it's difficult to overcome. It just is. And, you know, if your inner man is weak, you can't control. Here's another point. If your inner man is weak, you can't control your outer man. Because that's what it says in Romans chapter 5. Those that are after the flesh do what? Mind the things of the flesh. And those that are after the spirit do mind the things of the spirit. So if you're focused, if your spirit's weak, you're going to have a hard time controlling this outer man. It's going to do what it wants to do, right? And you're going to have a hard time saying no. You're going to yield to the flesh. So that's, you know, another point where we're saying you got to maintain a strong spirit and strengthen your inner man. But I wanted to focus this evening and look a little further. As I was saying, I want to read some excerpts out of this book. Because when we talk about being strengthened with might, it also includes that when you're strengthened with might in your inner man, there's what? There's a knowing, there's an understanding or revelation of who you are in Christ. And as I was sharing, you'll have a better understanding of what your authority is and who you are in Christ, and you'll take this place of authority. You'll take it. And so when you're weak, you're more susceptible or apt to yield to the conditions that are going on, as opposed to when my spirit is strengthened, I'm like, no, and I take my place of authority. And I say, no, you'll not do that. See, you'll not touch my body. You'll not touch my family. You'll not touch my finances. But when your spirit is weakened or weak, I think sometimes it's not maybe that you don't know that you have authority, but you don't exercise it. You just don't exercise it. You're just weak, right? So we want to look at that, and let's go over to Colossians chapter 1. It's just what we were sharing Sunday. When your immune system's weak, it can be more susceptible to sickness and disease. And when your immune system's strong, it fights it off. So Colossians chapter 1, and just look at this again. We touched on it Sunday. But I want to look at two things this evening, just these two words, the word power, but then the two words that are used in the Greek for power. One is dunamis and one is exousia, and they mean different things. So Colossians chapter 1, starting at verse 9, it says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened." See, what follows increasing in the knowledge of God? Strengthened with all might. That word is dunamis, all power, all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet or able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Verse 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. And this word strengthened, we were sharing, just means to grow strong, increase in strength. It also means to wax strong. You know, when it talked about Jesus waxed strong, as he grew, he waxed strong. Just means he increased in strength as a young child. But I read a couple of different translations, but this one particular translation I like in the New International Version. It says, being strengthened with all power, this Colossians 1:11 in the New International, it says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Boy, I like that. That just, for some reason, that registered with me, because what do we need when we face adversity? Great endurance and patience. And that's usually what happens when people face adversity for a long period of time. You've got to maintain, you've got to be strengthened with might, because what'll happen? People begin to do what? They begin to not endure. They begin to let go of their patience in a situation. So you've got to maintain a strong spirit. That's what it says. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that, see, so that you may have great endurance and patience. That's a big word, so that. Right? It's like saying, I want to lose weight. Push away from the plate so that, right, you may lose some weight, right? So, I mean, that so that to me is a big, big, big emphasis there, right? Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might so that you may have great endurance and patience. Boy. So the emphasis here is really we need to maintain a strong spirit, strengthened with his glorious might. Hallelujah. And of course, I'm not going to go through all the other various translations. I mean, they're all just as insightful. That just happened to register for me. And most of the other translations have so that in it. They have that word there. The J.B. Phillips, it says, as you live this new life, we pray that you will be strengthened from God's boundless resources so that you will find yourselves able to pass through any experience and endure it with courage. See? And that's just exactly what happened. What happened in 2 Corinthians? Let me just look over there because we highlighted this Sunday. 2 Corinthians, in chapter 11, where Paul is complaining to the Lord, or 12. What did he say? He's complaining. He's anointed, but he's complaining to the Lord, take this thorn in the flesh away from me, this messenger of Satan to buffet me. And then what did the Lord say? He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my what? My strength is made perfect in weakness. And then he began to say, well, then I glory in my weakness, that he may be strong. Or he gloried in his infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So we need to just focus on that, maintain a strong spirit. Now let's go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And let's start at verse 14. It says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be, what? Strengthened with might. That word might is dunamis. By his spirit, where? In the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints, or all saints, what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power, the dunamis power, that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. So this power is at work. It says here we're to be strengthened with this power in the inner man. But it also says here that it's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That worketh in us, that this power that works in us. So this power has to be, first of all, you got to believe, right? That was one of the things that we'll point out here. We've got to believe, and we've got to believe that it's working in us. Now this, I like this translation here. This is the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, I pray that the treasures of his glory, he will empower you with inner strength by his spirit. The New Living, it says, I pray that through his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his spirit. So it's his spirit that gives us inner strength, is strengthening us. Now let's go over to Ephesians 1. I want to spend some time here. And I want us to start at verse 16. And it says in verse 16, I'm reading from the King James, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling." And you could say, you may know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In verse 19, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power," this is the dunamis power, "to usward who believe." See, this is key here. You've got to believe. "According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." In chapter 2, let's continue. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And if you'll notice, "hath he quickened" is italicized, which means that was not in the original translation. So really it read, "and you who were dead in trespasses and sins." So the translators added, "hath he quickened." Verse 2, "where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." What does it say? Now worketh. So there today, we have children of obedience and we have children of disobedience, because it said the spirit that now worketh, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who was rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ." So you can see here, we were raised. What does it say? He raised us up together and he made us to be seated together with Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now let me read a few translations of this here in Ephesians 1:19. This is the Bible in basic English. It says, "And now and how his unlimited, and how unlimited, excuse me, is his power to us who have faith, as is seen in the working of the strength of his power, by which he made Christ come back from the dead and gave him a place at his right hand in heaven." The New Living Translation, it says, "I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him." This is the Johnson paraphrase translation. It says, "And that you will be aware I like this translation here, or paraphrase. It says, and that you will be aware of this incredibly immense strength which is available to us. You see, we have access to resurrection, to the strength and power of God demonstrated in Christ when he raised him from death and gave him supreme authority. So one of the things here, when you look at verse 20, it says here, what does it say? That this same mighty power which he wrought in Christ, that raised Christ from the dead and seated him, seated who? Christ, in a place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. It's the same power that's strengthening us, that's working in us, is the same Spirit, the same power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in heavenly places at the right hand of God. It's that same power that's strengthening us. Now, let's just, for this time here, for a moment here, let's jump over to Romans chapter 6. And Romans chapter 6 has a similar, actually the Romans 6 is conveys the same thought, similar. That Romans chapter 6 presents, or it conveys that the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus also includes his people. So when you look at Romans chapter 6, what does it say? No, verse 3, know you not that so many of us, what, were baptized into Jesus Christ? Were what? Baptized into his death. So you can see here, therefore we are what? We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was what? Raised up from the dead by what? The glory of the Father. Even so, we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be what? Also, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Hallelujah. Knowing this, that our old man is what? Is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed. So you can see here that there's death to sin, right, in Christ. You can see this. What does it say? That our old man is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. So we don't have to submit to sin. We're freed from it. So we can see here that this power of sin has been annulled. Now it continues, verse 8. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also what? Live with him. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to what? To be dead. We're dead in Christ. We died with him and we were raised with him. That's what this is. This chapter here, you can go on and read. And it says, let not sin therefore what? Reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Why? Because Christ, his power working in us, that resurrection life has defeated sin. It has no more power over us. And the devil doesn't want us to know that. He doesn't want us to know that his resurrection life is working in us. It's strengthening us. And that we have a place of a position of authority in Christ in heavenly places. He doesn't want us to know that. Now let's jump off here and let's go over to Matthew 28. Matthew chapter 28. This here is the, at the end here is the Great Commission. And starting in verse 16, It says, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into the mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. That word is exousia. That's all authority. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then what does he do? He does what? He commissions us. He gives us that authority. He says, go ye, therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. So this word exousia is the, I'll just read what it says. It says the power of authority, influence, and the right of privilege, the power of rule or government, the power of him whose will and commands must be submitted to by others and obeyed. He's given us that authority. He said, here, I have all authority, go ye. He commissioned us with his authority. So we've been given this authority in Christ. And so once, you know, this strengthening in our spirit is we've been strengthened with all power by his spirit in our inner man. We've been given a place of authority. So here, this word authority is delegated power. That's all that means. It's delegated power. So he, turn over to Hebrews chapter 8. And let's look at verse 1. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1. So he, Christ, assumed this authority when he sat down on the right hand of the throne of majesty. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, now of the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. He's set there, and so are we. We're set with him at the right hand of God. Now, what does that mean? We're going to go and look at this. I'm going to read just a few excerpts out of this book here, The Authority of the Believer. And this is I'm just reading almost verbatim what he wrote. He said here, this is John McMillan from The Authority of the Believer. It says, the right hand of the throne of God is the center of power of the whole universe. And the exercising of this power of the throne was committed to the ascended Lord. We just got done reading that. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1. And he said here, the elevation of his people with him to the heavenlies has no other meaning than that they are made sharers of the authority which is his. So when we were seated with him in heavenly places, we were made to be sharers of his authority. He is the head. We are the body. So we just got done reading here. He said, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye. So he's commissioned us with his authority to go forth. No different than if you took a simple example and said, okay, I've got this new group of men and women that are going to now go through training to be a police officer. When they pass all the tests and they graduate, they are now commissioned as police officers. They got a badge. They don't have dunamis power to stop something, but they have exousia. They have the authority to hold that badge up and say, stop. And that authority has the backing of the government to fulfill their command, which is no different. We have the name of Jesus. We have the blood of Jesus. We have his name. And so that name, he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So when I am a sharer of that power, when I speak the name of Jesus, it's as if it's his now. He's now going to exert what? His power, his dunamis power, when I speak that in authority, in faith, right? So he said here, they are made to sit with him. That is, they share his throne. He's the head. We are the what? The body. He said here, this is what he, I'm continuing. To share a throne means without question to partake of the authority which it represents. Isn't that good? I haven't heard it this way, put this way. Even Brother Hagin's books. It is just powerful to me. Get this book and read it. I mean, I'm going to read this and reread it. Get it down in your spirit. It says here, to share a throne means without question to partake of the authority which it represents. Doesn't a police officer do that? They partake of the authority of that government. When you take a person that comes from this government, let's take, for instance, the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo. He goes over, he represents this country. Now, yes, I understand there are other laws in place where he can't do something independently, but he represents this government. Right? So this is, I'm continuing here to read this. He said, we, I'm reading from this book, The Authority of the Believer. We have been elevated in the plan of God for this very purpose. This is significant here to me. That we may even now exercise to the extent of our spiritual apprehension authority over the powers of the air and over the conditions which these powers have brought about on the earth and are still creating through their ceaseless manipulations of the minds and circumstances of mankind. Boy, that said it all to me. He's saying here, we've been elevated in the plan of God for this purpose, that we may even now exercise this authority, but it's to the extent of your spiritual apprehension. If you don't have a full understanding of who you are in Christ, you won't exercise it because your spiritual apprehension is low. You'll sit in the sidelines and complain. Why? Because your spirit is not strengthened with might. Your spirit's weak. And you won't have the spiritual apprehension to exercise the authority that you share with Christ. And that's the thing that impacted my spirit. I said, how am I, and it says, those that do mind the things of the flesh, right? Those that are fleshly minded do mind the things of the flesh. Those that are spiritually minded exercise the spiritual things. Because they're what? Their spiritual apprehension is keener. See? Well, I tell you, that right there just it made me, I had to sit down and go, I had to think about this for a bit. Let it register on my spirit. And go back and say, okay, how is my spiritual apprehension with things? How is it? Makes you think. I tell you, it makes me evaluate how am I approaching things? How am I looking at things? How is my apprehension of natural things? Because this is what this is saying. See, the devil wants us to get caught up. This flesh is what? It's moved by what it sees, by what it hears, by what it smells, by what it touches. It's affected by that. But God is saying, you share my authority. Don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by what you hear. Don't be moved by what you are affected by in the natural, because this is what he's saying here. This is what this writer said. He said that we're to exercise authority over the power of the air and over the conditions which these powers have brought about on the earth and are still creating through their ceaseless in their manipulations of the minds and circumstances of mankind. And that's what it goes down to. You see all the stuff going on. You've got the powers and principalities and rulers of darkness that are manipulating people's minds and circumstances to do things, to create situations that are nothing to me but smoke screens. And we need to step up and say, no, you will not operate in this state. You will not operate in this county. You will not operate in Washington, D.C. in the name of Jesus. And I take my place and share authority in Christ. See, and that's what we're talking about. Being strengthened with might and taking my place of authority. See? And I think too often, I include myself sometimes, that I haven't taken that position as much as I should have. See? But as we grow, we begin to say, no, wait a minute. Why am I being affected by this? Why am I not taking authority over this? See, it just makes us think, right? Now let's look at Ephesians. We're there, but let me get over there a second because I didn't turn the page. Ephesians 1, and let's read 19 through 23 again. And it said, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? This is dunamis power. To usward who believe, see, that believing, that you could hook right up with what this writer said. That's going to be based on your spiritual apprehension, your believing. If you don't believe, then it's not going to affect you like it should, right? According to the working of his mighty power, or his strength and dominion, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all what? Principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all. And things is italicized, but you could say all to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now I'm going to read another excerpt, just a short one from this writer, John MacMillan. He said, in verse 22, he said, let us reverse the words to bring out more clearly their deep significance. This is how he wrote it. Head to the church over all things. His being head over all things is for the church's sake, that the church, his body, may be head over all things through him. Yeah, I know, that's how I am. I just say, let me think about that. But it's not for him. He is the head. But he did what? He did what? He said here that his being head, that's all right, don't worry about it, it'll be okay. Just when you get it off, you get it off. His being head over all things, I know how that works. You hit a button, you go, oh my God, I hit this button. Oh no. It's okay, don't worry, it's okay. I'm not nervous about it. It's all right. His being head over all things is for the church's sake. It's not for Christ's sake. It's for us. It's for the church's sake. That the church, his body, may be head over all things through him. Where? In the earth. He's in heaven. We're seated with him. What? We're sharing authority. We're not there. The body's here. So this being head over what? All things is for the church to operate. He's operating through us, which is what he wants. And the devil don't want you to see this. He don't want you to see it. But see, this is another thing here. Jesus delegated, this is in Matthew 28, Jesus delegated his authority on the earth to his body on the earth. Jesus delegated his authority on the earth to his body on the earth, not in heaven. He delegated this authority. We share his authority. Where is that seat of authority? In heaven. He said, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now go ye. You have all authority in through him. See? So we need to grasp a hold of that. Meditate upon it. Get this book. Feed upon it. I'm telling you, this book is so far. I just read 2 pages and have to stop and go, Because it's so powerful. It just begins to register down here and you go, oh my God. That's how Revelation, you know, and it just, the light of God's word begins to begin to affect your spirit, and how a writer, this writer here, he wrote this, when did he write this book? The first printing of this book was in 1932. It was written in 1932. That's why I said, you read this, Brother Hagin said, he got a hold of this pamphlet, and he said it started answering the questions that he had. And he said, I now see that the believer has authority in Christ that they're not using. And that's what propelled him to write The Authority of the Believer. In his era, he wrote it as he saw it, you know, as he got revelation from God. See? And actually, what's exciting about this is that this particular person, John MacMillan, he taught at Nyack College. Yeah, he went home to be with the Lord in 1956, but he was a missionary in China and the Philippines, and he was a teacher. You know, and I just thought, wow, interesting. So, praise God. Get this and meditate on it. I'll tell you, just keep it ever afresh in your spirits, because you've been made to share authority of Christ. So don't tolerate stuff. Do not tolerate it. Don't tolerate. That's why when sickness comes, you can rise up and say, no, I forbid it. I forbid it. I forbid lack of whatever is going on in your body, in your finances, in your family. You go, no. In Jesus' name, I forbid it. I plead the blood of Jesus. Why? Because I'm seated with him in a place of authority that's been given to me. As the body of Christ. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it is growing and expanding, and we are beginning to realize and becoming more aware of who we are in Christ and what authority that you've given us. We're so grateful, Father. We're humbled by this. And Father, forgive us if we've not exercised it as we should. But now that we know, Father, we will step up and take the place of authority that you've given to us. And we will not allow the devil to rule in our lives anymore. We will not allow him to rule in our state, in our government. We will not allow him to rule in our families anymore. We will give him no place or access in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a lot. I'll tell you, it is a lot to when I say a lot, it's something that if you meditate on it more, it'll get bigger and bigger on the inside, and there's some things that are going to explode on the inside of you. I just know it. It did me. It did me. Praise God. I tell you, it'll make you say, wait a minute, we've been allowing things in our country too long. We've been tolerating some things in our country too long. And see, this is why the devil, he gets churches to fuss and fight with one another and say, well, I think this and I think this. Then you just say, well, praise God. Okay, let me find someone of like precious faith and we'll get together. It doesn't take a lot to do it. It takes those that will agree in prayer and know who they are to change some things. See? And it's going to happen. That's why I'm convinced that God is taking this church, this group of believers, and he's going to propel us out of this place if we just stay steady and take our place of authority. There are thousands of people that are bumbling through life that don't know this truth, and he's going to send them there. I'm convinced of it. I am. I'm convinced of it. And we're all going to be used greatly. Hallelujah. Glory to God.